Luke chapter 14 and I'm just going to read a few verses here and then we're going to look into the word. It says, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day that they watched him. Behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an oxen fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Father, we just thank you, Lord, once again, for just bringing us together, Lord, in your house. Lord, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for the ones that are here, Lord, and for your presence that we feel in this place this morning. Father, we do know how the enemy is and how that he is, Lord, coming against us. But God, you've given us victory in the name of Jesus. We've got power to come against those things. Lord, we just open up your word, and every time we do, God, you begin to speak to us. God, I still believe this is the day that you have made, and we come to rejoice and be glad in it. God, give us relevant revelation this morning, God, of your word. We're going to claim it together in Jesus' name. You know, we look at this portion of scripture here, and it says that Jesus came into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, and they watched him. Even though the Pharisees were constantly against Jesus, he doesn't turn down any opportunity to show them God. Somebody listen to me. He wanted every opportunity that he had to show them God, he's going to take it. And the Bible said that, and they watched him. So if all eyes are going to get on him, he's going to show you something. See, I think a lot of times, church, he'd like to get our attention. Somebody listening to me. See, because we live in a world today where the world is trying to gain your attention at all times. One thing after another, you know, will bring all these things against you to try to get your focus off of him onto everything else. But these people invited him into the house, and these were people that were against him. And they invited him in the house, probably, you know, they, but yet he comes because he knows that this is an opportunity for him to show them God. And they watched him. That word watched is the word used for espionage. Boy, think about that. Espionage is spying to obtain information to use against an adversary. So they bring him into this place, and they're watching him, hoping that they can find him do something that they can use against him. Anybody ever see people like that? They're like that in the world today. The world is like that. Just want to come against the church and do, you know, see what they can find to use against the church. Well, they said that there was a man there who had the dropsy. That's a disease that swells the body by forming fluid. So his face was swollen, probably till it drooped. You know, he looked probably like a lot of people that come to church nowadays. Come into the house of God looking like they've lost their best friend. Anyways, he was probably invited by the Pharisees hoping to trap Jesus. Think about that. They invite the man with the dropsy hoping that they can get Jesus to do something. Man, I'm thinking about it. You know what they were doing, church? They were trying to get him to do something. They were trying to get him in their own convoluted way. Let's see if we can get him to do one of those miracles. Man. So these people, I'm thinking, they're going to an extreme to see God move. Yeah, they wanted to use it against him, but they're going to, and I'm just thinking, where are we at today? If we would get this kind of, you know, agenda, well, we're going to see God move. Anybody want to see God move? Am I still talking to the same church? But if we could get to just kind of get as aggressive as they were, church, just to see God move, they were trying to catch him in something. But notice here, church, that Jesus in verse 3, it says, and he, in answering them, well, They didn't ask him anything. But Jesus knew the intents of their hearts. In other words, he was answering their thoughts. They didn't say it out loud. How many's ever known somebody was thinking? Anybody? Ever been around somebody and you knew what they were thinking? How many's ever said, I know what you're thinking? I think we need to be more aware of what the enemy is thinking. I think we need to be more aware of because he was. He was aware of what his adversary was thinking. You and I, church, we need to be more aware of what the devil's thinking. Do you know that you can find out more about the devil by reading your Bible? Somebody, I know that it's, I encourage you to get in your word so that you could learn more about God. But at the same time, church, if you get in your Bible, you will learn more about the works of the enemy. And how that God does not want us to be ignorant of his devices. Somebody listen to me. You get in there and you'll actually get into the place that you'll be able to sense or to know when the enemy's coming against you. Jesus begins to speak to them. He said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Because the Pharisees believed for him to heal on the Sabbath was working. Well, Jesus reminded them here, though, that there was no commandment against healing on the Sabbath. Jesus never broke God's commandments, though he did come against some of the traditions of the elders. The tradition of the elders were a group of a list of things that the elders added to the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So they would go a little bit further and add their two cents to it. You know, stretch it out and make it a little bit more. You know that we've talked before about some of the traditions of the elders and how that they felt that, you know, that women should not even look in the mirror on the Sabbath in case they saw a gray hair and plucked it out and broke the law of plucking. Now, the law of plucking was, you know, toward, you know, going out and plucking some corn or some harvest. But at the same, this is what men think. I may know what I'm talking about. This is men's thinking. So they go and they add to that, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So here's Jesus. And the Bible said that they held their peace because they know he's right. And he took him and he goes and he heals them. You've invited me and you want to see God? I'll show you God. Come on, somebody. Boy, just think about that. Because I believe, church, if we get that same kind of determination that we're going to see God move, that he'll show you God. Somebody? You get out there by faith and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue to believe your word. I believe, church, that sooner or later, God's going to show up. Now, he may not do it when you think he should do it or how you think he should do it, but how many believe, church, that God doesn't fail? And nothing too hard for God. That God's going to show up and show out. That's what we're looking for here, isn't it? Come on, somebody help me. So he begins to tell them, I like what he does here. He begins to help them. He says in verse 5, he said, which of you shall have an ass or an oxen that falls into the pit and not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? In other words, he said, you're not brutal or cruel men. You will help your animals. Now extend the same, you know, kind of concern to people that are needy. He said, you do it for your animals now. So what's wrong with me healing? See, his purpose was not in shaming them, but saving them. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to shame you. I'm trying to save you. You know, he takes advantage of the situation to teach them something. To teach them something. Do you know, church, that even when there's times that God allows things to happen that you don't like, and a lot of times we don't like it because we don't understand it. Somebody listen to me. Even if you know it's God, I got faith even if it doesn't look like God. I still have faith that all things work together for good to them that love God and called according to his purpose. That's what you gotta be grounded in, isn't it? But there's a lot of times, you know, that things begin to happen. God allows things to happen. You don't like it because you don't understand it. You know, Psalm 94, I like what it says. How dare we think that he that planted the ear can't hear? Sometimes, anybody ever know what I'm talking about? I don't think God heard me. I don't think God's listening to me. He that created the ear can't hear. Or that he that formed the eye can't see. So, how naive are we sometimes? How deceived are we by the devil sometimes? Oh, God doesn't see you. You can go ahead and do that. You can go ahead and go there. You can go ahead and act that way. God don't see it. That's the way he was with Eve, wasn't it, in the garden? Now, did God really say that? I don't think. Listen, what's it say in Psalm 94? He that teacheth man knowledge, doth he not know? See, church, I think about this. While we possess only limited knowledge, a lot of times we think we know better. Anybody know what I mean? A lot of times, church, you know, when God's trying to have his way, even though we possess limited knowledge, we think we know better than God. Quiet in here. I saw a commercial the other day. It made me laugh, and I don't even like commercials. You know, I think there's a lot of commercials nowadays that they intentionally want to irritate you with. They make them so that you get irritated, so that you pay attention to them. It's going to bug you, but you'll notice it. But I saw a commercial the other day. I had to laugh. It was a guy that was being wheeled out by paramedics out of his house. And he said, and he was on a stretcher. He said, I should have known better than to try and remove my own appendix. Sometimes, isn't that the way that we are with God? We get to a point, church, that we think that we know better than God. Even though that we only know, it's like opening up that, you know, your hood of your car. There's some people that know everything in there. And I am blessed, I am fortunate if I know where to pull the stick out to check the oil. It looks like nothing but a big jumbled up mess to me. But yet there are people that do know. So I'm going to rely on them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, God will take situations that, you know, that you go through and turn those into teaching opportunities. He goes here and goes on in verse 8, and I like it if you go on and read it. When you are invited to a wedding, he said, don't take a seat at the head of the table. He's trying to help them. He's teaching them. He said, if you get invited to a banquet or a wedding, he said, don't take a seat at the head of the table where they will come in and have to move you, and then you'd be shamed. Don't go in there feeling like you're somebody and sit up there at the head of the table, and then somebody has to come in and move you, and you're embarrassing. He said, but go and take a back seat and allow yourself to be moved up, promoted by humbling yourself. Isn't it funny, church? They invite him into the house to try to, you know, catch him in something. And now he goes and he's teaching them. I'm going to sit here in your house. I'm going to heal the sick, and then I'm going to teach you something. You people need to humble yourself. Because if you don't, if you think you're going to come in here, and you think you've got all kind of pride, and you think that you're just going to get embarrassed, you're going to make a mess of things. And then he doesn't stop there. He goes into verse 16. Reading this with me? He said, a certain man made a great supper and bade many and sent his servant at supper to say them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first one said, I have bought a piece of land and I must go see. Have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to go prove them. Please have me excused. Another one said, I just married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. You listen to this. Here he is. He's sitting in their house, and he's just giving it to them. Because as I'm reading this, in the age before clocks, the date of a banquet was announced long before. But the exact time was not announced until the very day. They would give him plenty of time. You're going to be invited to a big deal that we're going to have. But they didn't give them the exact moment until the very day. So this man, this means that many accepted the invitation when it was first given. Yet when the actual time came, they changed their mind. Well, to accept an invitation and then not show up was a terrible insult. So what do? They go and begin to make excuses. The first one says, I bought some land, I got to go see it. The second one said, I bought five yokes of oxen and I got to go prove them. The third one said, I just got married and I can't go. Well, the first two were material things that they put before God. And the third thing was a personal relationship, their family, that they were putting before God. I just got married. I can't come. And I read this, and it made me sad. Because I could just see Jesus as he's giving them this parable. I went to all this work to show you God, and you're not coming. You're not interested. I was thinking about a time when I had my six grandkids at the house, and I knew they were hungry, so I decided to cook them a big pot of noodles. And they're sitting there, and I am not a cook. So for me to go and make anything was an effort. And then to go into, to slave over hot stove and to make them their noodles, and then for them to say, I'm not hungry. Not Roman. Roman and River, oh no, they'll eat. Just give me my noodles. But then you've got those that are finicky. It's just think how God must feel. I go and I find a virgin. Good luck with that today. I found a woman who agrees to bear my son. Boy, I was thinking about that. How many people today can't go through 9 months to birth a healing? Somebody listening to me. Do you know what I'm talking about? You can't. How many would be willing to go through 9 months believing God for a healing? Because if it don't happen in the first 9 minutes, it ain't happening. You got to go through. Are you willing to? Can God find somebody that's willing to go through 9 months to birth a healing? God, can God find somebody that's willing to go through 9 months to birth a blessing? Anybody listening to me? Just think about this, church. He goes, the Bible says that he who was rich became poor, that you and I, through his poverty, might become rich. Jesus leaves everything to come to this earth as a babe in a manger. Gives up everything so that through his poverty, you and I might become rich. Endured 30 years even before he could begin his ministry. Only to be rejected by his own. Slandered and blasphemed and forsaken by those closest to him. Spat upon, beaten, mocked. Ultimately crucified. Finish the work of the cross, and after all that, you're not coming. Got to go back and check my land. I got to go and plow my yoke of oxen. I got to stay home and rub wifey's feet. Oh, I know it sounds ridiculous, but what about us? Is this okay on a Sunday morning? Come on, somebody. Because I start thinking about us, church, if you think about it, you look at the Bible and you get into the Word of God and you begin to realize, church, we have a spiritual smorgasbord here. Nobody's ever been to the Golden Corral. One of those places like that. You go in there and you got all manner of food. It's got to be something that you like. There's got to be something that you want. It ain't like sitting at home and we're having hamburgers tonight. No, you go to the ground, there's something for everybody. Well, do we understand, church? That's the way that God is. That's the way that his table is. He sets a banquet for us. He's not going to have, the only thing I got for you is salvation. Thank God for salvation. Yet there are some people that still snub their nose at it. I know what you went through for me, but I'm too busy. Not right now. How many have ever seen people like that? I'm thinking, how far down is bottom for some people? Because here's the greatest church opportunity that you ever go have in this world, and that is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and yet there are those that continue to say, you know what, not now. I'm not coming. I'm not ready to give in. Then you go on to find out that there's healing. There's freedom from bondage, from addiction, from debt. The Bible says, church, the blessings of God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Is this, who does this not appeal to? And I'm looking there and I'm church, and if how many realize it feels good to be appreciated? Anybody ever done something for somebody and you were appreciated and it felt really good? How many realize when you appreciate what someone does for you, there's a tendency they'll do more? Somebody listen to me. I said, if you appreciate what somebody does for you, how many realize there's a tendency that they might do more for you? See, I get the feeling sometimes that the church doesn't appreciate what God's done for us. Anybody know what I mean? It's that it's so good sometimes, and we take it for granted. And it's so everyday, an everyday thing. His mercies are renewed every day to the point that we take advantage of it. We get to the point that we don't appreciate it like we should appreciate it. Because we're on to the next big thing. We're wanting something else. We need something more. I got to get this. I got to get that. To the point that we fail to appreciate what God's already done for us. Because whether you realize it or not, he's made a way for you to even have more. So I think you ought to appreciate that before you even get it. Can we do that? Can we get to this point? Because I've got a church, and I think this holds us back at times. Because I know that how I feel, church, when I'm appreciated, little things that I do. If I go out of my way for my grandchildren and they appreciate it, I have a tendency to do more for them. I did all this and you're not coming. I did all this and you're not hungry. I did all this and you're too busy. I did all this and you're not in the mood. I think about my wife. I think about my wife a lot. I appreciate my wife. She's awesome. She is. She goes the extra mile all the time. But if my wife would stand there for 5 hours and make my spaghetti, and then by the time that she was done making my spaghetti, I said, I'm not hungry for spaghetti. I think I want McDonald's. How many realize it'd be a long time before I get spaghetti? Here's what Jesus is telling them. Always got to help me out. Here's what Jesus, because Jesus wasn't done yet. Are you understanding that they invited him to the house to sit down and just eat and hopefully catch him in something? And he's going on and on, and he's just bringing all of this into the house. But do we understand, church, that that's what happens? Is that a lot of times we want God to show up. We want God to do something big. And God's trying to teach us some things. Somebody know what I mean? Oh, God, Pastor, I got so many needs. I got so many things I'm believing God for. I got so many things I'm praying about. I want to see God do right. And in the process of that, God's trying to teach you something. Amen. Boy, I bet these people were sitting there thinking, why did we invite him into the house? Because he ain't done with them yet. Listen to what it says here in verse 21. They said that all these said that they're not coming. So he says to the servant, the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets, lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. You listen to this? Go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Somebody listen to this. Don't forget, this is Jesus talking. See, because let me tell you something, church. God didn't do all this for nothing. God didn't send his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't do this for nothing. So you know what, church? He realized there's going to be those. I may sit here glad that you're one of them. Paul, pastor, I am glad that I can say I'm one of them. He knew that there would be those. John 1 says he came to his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Anybody listening to this morning? Even to them that believe on his name. He came to his own and his own received him not, but as many as would believe, gave he them power to become the sons of God. So he's telling us here, church, they're going to be those that going to have all kind of excuses. I can't do this right now. I can't come right now. But there's going to be those that say, you know what? I want to see God do something. I want more of God. Am I talking to some of those this morning? He said, go get the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. He said, there is room. Go in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Compel them. That means to urge forcefully. You've got to go to the blind and the halt and the maimed, those ones that, and you're going to have to be forceful with them. Why? Because it seems too good to be true. You want me? Boy, you know what I'm telling the church? I think I think a lot of times that the church is not compelling enough. Somebody help me. I don't believe the church is compelling enough. I don't believe that we're able to forcefully urge. Somebody help me. Because a lot of times, you know, the church doesn't want to hear about certain things. Church today doesn't, a lot of church today don't want to hear about the devil. You mentioned the name of the devil and you just really threw cold water on a bunch of them. Why do you have to do that on a Sunday morning? Well, this whole word is strong, isn't it? On a Sunday morning, is that okay though? Because we know what God's doing, church. God's trying to get us ready. Amen. What's he trying to get us ready for? Well, for one thing, the rapture of the church. Amen. Anybody still believe he's coming? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I read something here from, it was an article from CNN, and they were trying their best to convince people that the rapture of the church was a myth. Was something that men had made up. And they went back to the myth of the rapture was only created a short time ago in the 1800s. That's when they started teaching the, you know, they on the rapture of the, a short time ago. To me, church, I don't know about you, but the 1800s doesn't seem like a short time ago. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The 1980s don't seem like a short time ago. 1800s. But these are, but see, that's how ignorant the world is. Because Paul started talking about it in 1 Thessalonians. Anybody listen to me? And he was telling the Thessalonians to the point that they started selling their houses, getting ready to, and moving to the mountains to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Anybody listening? So big, it's laughable when people start trying to talk about things that they don't know anything about. This is what I'm talking about sometimes. Come on. But it's right here for us. Get in there. Get to know this stuff, church, so that you might know. So, you don't want to talk about the devil. A lot of the church don't want to talk about the rapture. A lot of the church nowadays, they like being here. They're not ready to go. A lot of pastors are not preaching on the coming of the Lord because they're having a good time now. There's one other thing that they don't want to really talk about a lot, and that's hell. Anybody listening to me? Do you know there are actual doctrines today that said that hell does not exist? Can I read something to you real quick? You know I'm going to do it anyways. Luke chapter 16, this is in red. How many know that that's Jesus talking? There was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip his tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, there is a great gulf fixed that they which would come pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray, would you send therefore to my father that they would send him to my father's house? I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, and they would not hear them. He said, but if Father Abraham, if one went from the dead, they would repent. And he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This is giving us, a picture of hell. Is this okay to still talk about death? But yet, church, he said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them. But how are you going to compel them, church, if we're not willing to speak the truth to people? I see the desperation for God to see his house full. Bible said that he would not that any be lost, but that all should be saved. I'll find somebody to fill the void. There's somebody that will stand in the gap and make up a hedge. I got a remnant. This is why the word is still preached. This is why the church is still here. Because God is merciful. Think it not strange, church, that God tarries. He's merciful. He's trying to see as many as possible come to Him. And God makes it clear, church, to anybody, whosoever will, let him come unto me. I'm reading his church in I believe that he wants Grace Tabernacle full. I believe that God would like to see every church in this town full. I believe that God would like to see the houses full so he could show them God. Somebody listening to me. I think what he's trying to do, church, is trying to get you and I in a place. Even that those Pharisees found themselves in where they were so aggressive in getting him into the house and seeing him move. Can we get to the back to that point, church, where there's still people praying at the altar? That when you sense God wanting you to come before him, that you, I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the mood to pray. How many's ever felt God want you to pray? And I'm not in the mood to pray. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're mad. I'm mad at God. Not in the mood to read your Bible. Not in the mood to fast. Not in the mood to give an offering. I'm not in the mood to go to church. I got to stay home and get myself right before I can go to church. And why don't you just go to church even in a foul mood and get right? Didn't he say the lame, the maimed, and the halt? He's saying, you don't have to be perfect to come to my house. Somebody listen to me. Blind? How many people have walked into the house of God spiritually blind, knew nothing about Jesus, but before they got out of there, spiritual eyes were open. Somebody help me. Before they left that place, all of a sudden, I saw God move. We stand here this morning, church, and I believe God's, he's trying to get us in that place that we want to see God do something. I know what the devil was working on us. He'd love to get you to the point, what's the use? You got to counter that. We got to be, church, we got to come to the point that I know better. Anybody know what I mean? I know better. How many know better than not to try to remove your own appendix? Anybody? Well, Pastor, when you said that, I was just going to go home and give it a whirl. Oh, my goodness. I may realize, church, that God's got it all. All he needs you to do is just come. Amen. Stop making excuses. I got everything that you have need of, but yet you would rather sit home and try to do it yourself. Yeah. I'll be there, Lord, as soon as I remove my appendix. Somebody helping me. You know why, church? Because God's got something for you to do. God's trying to get you there so he can work on you. Just like he was doing them in the house. He was teaching them something. They had it all figured out. They were going to come in their church and they were going to catch him in something. Boy, that's a good feeling. Catch God in something. Come on, somebody, help me. Oh, I caught God saving somebody. I caught God healing somebody. I caught God forgiving somebody. I caught God changing somebody's life. I caught God giving somebody a miracle. And the next thing you know, church, he goes and does exactly what they were expecting him to do. We brought the guy with the dropsy. Go ahead, Jesus. And then he starts working on them. Wouldn't you have mercy and compassion on your ox? And then he goes and tries to tell them, your problem is you want to sit at the head of the table. When you're not ready to sit at the head of the table, go to the back of the line and allow God to bring you up. Somebody listen. Humble yourself and God, humble yourself and he will lift you up. And then you get to the point that there are those that you've heard the invitation, but you're not interested. Bow your heads with me real quick. Lord, this morning on Sunday morning, God, I know this is a word. Lord, I know this is a word for somebody. Anybody been too busy for God? Found yourself not praying like you should be praying? Pastor, I haven't read my Bible since the last time I was in church. Got too busy. I haven't been in the mood. I'm just talking to somebody. Stand to your feet with me if you can, all over the building. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus. Oh, you've heard the word of God. Come on, everyone, get your mind on the Lord with me. Every head bow, every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning and I just got to make this clear. You've never accepted Jesus. You've heard the word, but you've never accepted him. Here's your opportunity. I just want you to know, church, that there's a God that loves you. There's a God that's coming soon. There's a God that loves you so much, he sent his only son to keep you from dying and going to hell, but that you might have everlasting life. Lord, I think that you're trying to stir the church this morning. I think, Lord, you're trying to bring us to you, Lord, and you're trying to get us to the point that we hear you when you call and that we move and we come, Lord, and we appreciate everything that you have laid out before us. We appreciate, Lord, how that you sent your only son to die for us. Father, I thank you for that every day. Come on, somebody, help me. But are we standing here this morning and we've gotten too busy? We get too entitled. We get too busy. We get too hung up on everything else and don't have time for him. Because I think he's calling us. I feel like he's calling us this morning. And there's a reason for that, because he's trying to teach us some things. Because I want to send you out and I want you to be able to compel somebody else. We're standing here this morning, church. If he's not working in my life, then what am I going to be able to compel somebody with? If he's not working in me, and if he's not making me hungry, how am I supposed to make somebody else hungry? You're standing here this morning, and you say, Pastor, I don't want to be too busy for God. I don't want to get to the point that I'm just, it's about me. It's about my stuff, my land, my job, my home, my relationship, my family, to the point that I don't have time for. Am I talking to anybody? Right there where you stand and somebody just make up your mind, Lord, I don't want that. I sense you calling me today. Come on, right there where you're standing. Lord, I sense you calling me today. I sense you quickening my spirit today. You don't want me to get so wrapped up in everything else. And a lot of times in things that I don't know anything about. I can't fix it. I can't help it. I can't control it. But yet it's keeping me from you. I don't want that. I don't want there to be any excuses. I don't want to stand before you someday with a bunch of excuses. Lord, right here, right now. Father, I feel you calling me. I feel you working in my life. Come on, somebody come into that place with God right now. Father, forgive me. God, I don't want that. I don't want to be that way. I sense you calling me. I sense you wanting to work in my life. I sense you teaching me something today, Lord, so that I might go out and urge forcefully. Let somebody know about the goodness of God. Let somebody know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Lord, that I might go forward and I might be a better example. Lord, you're calling me. And some of you feel it and sense it right now where you're standing. Just make it right there where you are. Father, I want to be one of those ones, Lord, that want to see you move. I want to be one of those, Lord, that will go the extra mile. Lord, whatever you want me to do in my life, I'm going to surrender it all right here, right now. Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, whatever you want to teach me, Lord, teach me. Whatever the place that you want to bring me into, Lord, bring me into that place with you. Lord, help me to know you in a greater way. God, make me a greater example, a greater witness for your glory. Lord, give me power and anointing to go forward and compel those to come in. Lord, that your house may be full, that you may be able to show them God. Lord, that's what we want here at Grace Tabernacle. Lord, we want you to move. We desire you to move. Lord, right here, right now. Lord, I believe that there's empty vessels in this place this morning. I believe that there's yielding vessels in this place this morning that say, Lord, go ahead and do what you want to do in me so that your house might be full, so that you can show them God. Lord, that's what we want. That's what we're believing for. That's what we're claiming for right here, right now. God, whatever you want to do in me, go ahead. Have your will, your way, in Jesus' name. Somebody give God a praise with me.